This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Wake up, Atlanta. This is the morning shift. I am he and he is I, Squidbilly Bo Morgan. He is the All-American national champion,
what
former
up?
Atlanta Falcon. Michael, oh, didn't I ask him what the P stands for? Johnson. And like I said, this is the morning shift. How you feeling today, man? Like,
I'm good,
it's
man.
Friday.
Wait, hey, Bama just hit another three, so there's that, you know.
Well, hey, Florida decided to play with their food last night for about 25 minutes, and when they got done playing with their food,
dang,
they did the death roll pretty quick on the little turtles.
Yeah.
Oh, turtle.
The four seed, man.
As usual, turtles are inferior.
I like turtles.
called the four seed food, man. Like, toying with their food like they're not a four seed in this tournament.
Well, they were food last night. Like I told you, turtles are an inferior animal to everything. And they had more of a soft shell last night.
Yeah.
It was turtle soup.
Yeah.
In San Francisco.
Yeah. No, man, I'm good. Watching the Braves yesterday, of course, we'll get into that. But I had my fantasy baseball draft last night.
How'd that go?
It went well, man. We do six keepers in our league, and a lot of people think I overdrafted with my first pick, which is actually the seventh round, right? So it's not like it's technically a seventh round draft pick because we have six keepers. But I took Spencer Strider, like kind of jumped down the player radar a little bit, took Spencer Strider. Because, look, I know he'll miss a few weeks, whatever, but I'm here for whatever he's bringing the rest of the way. I think he'll be dominant. So drafted him, drafted Max Fried, drafted Raisel Iglesias, drafted Jurickson Profar.
You're going to have a tough time when the Braves have off days. I mean, because
– well, Max Fried doesn't play for the Braves anymore.
No, so I know, but I was talking about Profar and Iglesias. And
yeah, I try – you know, not to go off on a tangent, but baseball fantasy is one of those that you don't necessarily want to stack players. You know, you can do that in football,
yeah,
but in baseball, it's a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, football, there's only one off game. Like, well, there's only one bye.
No, I don't even mean that. Like for instance, like if you'd have drafted Kirk Cousins last year and Drake London as your wide receiver two or whatever. Like, if Kirk Cousins having an off day, Drake London's having an off day. You know what I mean? So, like,
Kirk
stacking
Cousins
is a little bit more difficult. We had Kirk in Justin Jefferson 2 years ago in on our fantasy football team.
I think Kirk's still on our dynasty fantasy football team.
He might be. He might be.
I'm going to see if
probably
we can.
Probably time to let that go. Maybe not. I don't know.
You think he'll waive his no trade calls in fantasy? I don't know. Hey, so I got something we're going to get to next segment because I need you to help me. I think I need to have a better outlook at times.
Oh, you?
So, MGA started last
night. Shocked.
And this is not anything that happened on the course or during the play because that's not even that there are things that happen, but
shit.
I ain't even going down that angry road. But just an outlook about general interaction and maybe, you know, mindset can be everything.
Yes.
But look, speaking of mindset, the Braves fans' mindset right now is not a good one.
No.
I thought offensively it was good, not great from this team. I have to give the Padres defense saved two home runs yesterday, because Ozzie would have had a second one in the corner, and he did have a first one. And then Drake Baldwin's, Jackson Merrill straight up said, "I felt bad because I knew I robbed his first home run." And he goes, you know,
Jackson Merrill's tasting himself a little bit. I don't think that one was leaving the park, but it was a nice, you know, whatever, 400-foot, you know, fly out. But it made good contact, and I'm with you. They played really good defense. I thought there was two things yesterday that were the difference in the game. The aggression by the Padres on the base pass, which it was honestly, it brought a tear to my eye, because it's something I'm so thirsty for the Braves to do. We've covered it a million times.
Easy there, thirst bucket.
And the management of the bullpen. The management of the bullpen will be something that we will talk about, obviously, throughout the show, and we'll have Grant McCauley on later, and I have a number of questions for him about where Hector Neris fits in the hierarchy of this team.
Okay, I've got, if you want, we'll get to this, because we need to talk about what happened, but the management of the bullpen, you can't have it both ways, and I'm not saying you, but I'm seeing Braves fans complain about both. The bullpen in general, and the perceived lack of depth, which definitely looks like there's lack of depth at this point, and the management of it. You can't have both. It's either one or the other. You can't have a guy that's mismanaging. You can't say Snitker doesn't know how to manage a bullpen as if there is a bullpen with depth to manage, and then say that the bullpen doesn't have depth. Like, I think you have to understand that he's navigating a bullpen that is not near as good as it either, well, both, A, should be, and B, has been. But let's talk about what happened. Chris Sale gives you five innings, three runs, six hits, had seven Ks. He actually had a shaky first inning where he threw 29 pitches, but only needed 55 pitches the next four innings. They're pretty good there, right? You agreed, pretty decent outing for your first outing with Chris Sale.
Yeah, he missed a couple of spots. I actually thought the first big hit that he gave up, I think it was to Jackson Merrill on a slider away, I thought it was actually a pretty good pitch. But, you know, it was interesting because I kept looking for interaction between he and Drake Baldwin, because Drake Baldwin's calling his pitches. Chris Sale is one of those guys that doesn't call his own pitches. It's Drake Baldwin. So I kept looking to see, okay, bad pitch call, bad execution, whatever it may be. But, you know, I he got hit a little bit. And really, when it comes to Chris Sale, the tail of the tape for me is the first inning where I think he threw 29 pitches, which never allowed him an opportunity to get to the sixth inning and to get the quality start, right? He had to be pulled after the fifth because of that long first inning, and it took him time to settle down. Now, granted, it took Michael King time to settle down as well, who was the Padres starter,
yeah,
but
he never settled down.
Yeah, they were like, all right, we've seen enough of that. We'll talk to you later.
You weren't facing the same lineup there, buddy, that you faced in the wild card. I thought that was a good point by you yesterday.
Yeah, it was 2 2/3 yesterday for him. He gives up three earned runs. The walks really, really did him in. It was another thing about Michael King, and I mentioned yesterday, I had forgot about this, but it was brought up on the Braves broadcast, and I mentioned yesterday, Michael King's numbers, everybody's talking about him having 12 Ks against the Braves, not even the same lineup, not even close. I think it was like, you know, five guys that were the same. But you know what else was, even with one of the guys that was the same, that there was something different? Ozzie Albies, I'd forgot about this. Ozzie Albies hit off Michael King last year as a right-handed hitter because of the injury at the end of the season. I had completely forgot about that.
Well, that just goes to that. You said Gio Urshela was in. We had Jorge Soler, which I guess some people still think plays on this team, according to some posts I saw yesterday.
Ramon Laureano.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a number of guys, obviously, you know, playing in that wild card game last year that, you know, were not part of this, not even part of this team right now. So. Yeah, I mean, I thought Chris Sale was
fine. Let's talk about what happened. All right, we get to Dylan Lee pitches a perfect, sixth, and he's saying nine pitches, I think.
Yes.
And Hector Neris comes in. Hector Neris signed about, I think 3 weeks ago, maybe.
Yes.
Only had three outings in Grapefruit League.
I expected him to be one of those guys that was put in the minor leagues to begin the year.
Well, and Hector Neris has been a good pitcher for quite a long time. He's 35 years old. He's been a good relief pitcher. He's been a beast at times.
He's been with the Astros and Phillies in his time and was elite at times at both spots.
He was also with the Cubs last year to start the season, and then he went back to the Astros, FY. So, comes in, 3-2 count, and according to Neris, he wasn't aggressive enough in that. He said he should have came at the batter more. And Gavin Sheets, in his Padres debut, hits a home run. I think it was, what, dead center, it felt like?
Yeah, dude.
Big. So that then he gives.
Michael Harris barely missed it.
Neris gives up two more hits. Ended up getting tacked with three earned runs, and an 18 pitches, never recorded an out. It goes from a 4-3 Braves lead to a 7-4 deficit that they never overcame. They had a chance in the ninth. They had, I think, what, two on, and again, give the Padres credit. Their base running was aggressive, to your point. They had some timely hitting. Their defense was, I thought, pretty phenomenal, especially in the outfield. They literally robbed two home runs.
Yeah.
And Ozzie, I think the second one might have been a three-run homer that they robbed. And then Drake Baldwin, like I said, Jackson Merrill. And Jackson Merrill was funny. He had four RBIs yesterday. Very good outing for him. But that was it. Look, was the bullpen what you want? When I hear Grant say you definitely should have added a premier arm, but this was one of the problems that Braves fans had in the offseason. And this was one that I don't disagree. I know that they tried multiple times to add arms, and then there was one time there was the failed physical, and then that was that.
Yeah. Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, from conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. And you know what the problem will be? The biggest takeaway this morning, I think, from Braves country will be that, hey, we've been saying all offseason we needed to add a bullpen arm. You can't tell me it was addition by subtraction for this group. And then for the bullpen to be faulty and so many questions about the actual people that are coming in. The Hector Neris inning wasn't just a matter of him not being aggressive enough. There's so many small caveats to what Hector Neris did yesterday. And not to get too deep in the weeds, but Jason Hayward comes in and pinch runs, right? Which is, that one's on me because I brought up Jason Hayward's name a couple days ago. And you know what? That's the baseball gods paying me back. He comes in to pinch run. Hector Neris uses two pickoff attempts, which is the maximum nowadays. So what do you think Jason Hayward does on the next pitch? Takes off to steal. Well, then a ball is hit right where Ozzie Albies had been standing because he goes to cover second base. And the ball goes through. Jason Hayward goes to third, scores what would be the go-ahead run on a sac fly on the next pitch. So it just there was a number of things that went wrong for Hector Neris. Nothing went right for Hector Neris. His you know, if you're a fantasy baseball owner out there, his ERA is infinity now because he didn't get it out.
This is why you hope Craig Kimbrell can get it going down there. And look, just stop. Before you yell at me, stop. Craig Kimbrell, despite what some of people I've heard, even I've seen on Braves fans, I've seen media people kind of kill that. Kimbrell was really freaking good until August 6th last year, and then the wheels fell off. That's great. David Robertson is still out there. Maybe, and now I know that he declined his option with Texas in the offseason, which would have paid him $7 million. So I'm not sure the money he's looking for, but clearly he thought he was going to get a better payday. And he's 39 himself. But I wouldn't mind if he's a guy that's willing to. But if you can get Kimbrell up and maybe he can be a stopgap for a while to get you to the trade deadline and maybe you can make a move or two for some relievers, I'm all for it. I am curious how Braves fans are feeling, though, as a whole, because I thought Sale did his job. He wasn't dominant Sale last year, but look, it is the first game of the season. Thought the offense at times looked like it had a punch that we didn't see at times last year. But the bullpen with Neris and Bummer didn't hold up.
Yeah.
So I'm curious how you're feeling, because when you use a guy in Grant Holmes to do an inning, I understand it might have been his day to throw. We'll talk about Grant later. But I'm curious. So, you know, look, if you've got something to say about this team, it's 404-726-0929. Give us a ring. We'll try to get to you at some point this hour. You know, we're going to talk a little bit of tournament next, but we got plenty of time to talk all, you know, Braves reaction, because it's kind of like the first week of the season in the NFL, Mike. It's called Overreaction Monday, where everyone overreacts to whatever you saw. We're going to see some of that today.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it. I get it.
Yes. Well, and again, when you go through an entire offseason and most of the fan base has one focus of where you've lost AJ Minter and a number of other pieces, right? And then you come back at it and you sign Hector Neris and Craig Kimbrell, and that's kind of what, you know, that's what you're being told is okay. And look, we talked to Keith Law yesterday, and what did he say about, you know, salary caps and money? He was like, these owners have money to spend. I don't want a salary cap because that's just money going straight into the owners' pockets. And he said the Braves are just as guilty as anybody. So
they are. They are.
Exactly. So, and I think that's the frustration in all this, is it not? Because we're signing freaking Hector. They are thrift shopping when they shouldn't be thrift shopping. The Falcons have to thrift shop. They do. The Falcons have to thrift shop. The Braves don't.
So it's funny because middle of MGA, after Neris has his blow up, because we were watching, we had the game on, right? We had the big phone up, and the speaker playing it. And I got asked, hey, what are the Braves a major market team? And I said, hell yeah, the Atlanta's the sixth largest market in the country, media wise. And they're like, yeah, but we don't spend like, I go, surprisingly, in 2025, from what I've seen, we are seventh in the league in payroll. I go, we spend right there. But the problem is, and they're like, wait, really? I thought our contracts were friendly. I go, you're still paying Austin only like $30 million. You're still paying Matt Olson $20 million. You're still paying, Michael Harris good money. You're still paying guys well. The problem is they go where other teams will go all in all areas. We go cheap in certain areas.
Yeah, we're thrift shopping. Look, we're going to talk more Braves. If you want to get to us, 404-726-0929. We'll open up the phone lines this hour to talk a little bit of Braves and everything else going on with those guys, man, because just a frustrating day nonetheless.